Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Loving the Movement, hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clements. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration through efforts in justice reform, and in society at large. Today, what I'd like to talk to you about and what I'd like to discuss and hopefully offer some helpful instructions on our advice is how to start an organization or movement, sustain it, and keep it going. There's a lot to that title. There's a lot more work that has to be done instead of just trying to. Oh, and then I want to put a footnote, a side note to this. There's 3 executions scheduled in the state of Missouri. There's an execution for Kevin Johnson. They scheduled for the 29th of this month, November 29th. I ask you to pray for him, to pray for his family, pray for his lawyers, pray that he gets a stay of execution. Mike Parsons said when he was lieutenant governor that he did not support the death penalty. If he ever becomes governor, he will not allow execution on his watch. He has yet to stop or halt an execution during his governorship. He's been governor ever since Chris Koster was ousted out of office in 2018. So hopefully he'll start now. And also there's a young woman who might be called a name, Miss Tracy, who's in touch with Leonard Taylor. And if she calls in, we're going to interrupt the show and transition over to her call. All right. The topic and subject at hand is dealing with starting an organization, sustaining the organization, and keeping it going. A lot of people have big wild hairs, and some people are serious in their passion, but don't have the necessary skill set to accomplish the goals that they're seeking to accomplish. They reach above their part. They reach above their ability to actually make something happen. And it falls into the realm of a fantasy instead of a vision. And there's a difference between a vision and a fantasy because a vision is a goal that you're going to set out to achieve. A fantasy is an obtainable wish that you do not presently have either the skill set or resources to accomplish. And I don't say all this to discourage anybody, because what I would like to do is go off into some instructions and guidance and I know for sure that my vet has a lot of experience in dealing with LLC and different things like that when it comes to starting an organization.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
I just got through speaking with Julian Jackman, who is in the process right now of working on some LLC paperwork for somebody. And he's going to be on the next show on this subject. So this is a two-part show. This will be this show, and then we'll have another show later on to cover this subject even further. Now, one of the things that I always bear in mind before I even initiate anything is what Benjamin Franklin said, that invention is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. What that means is after you come up with the idea, you come up with the invention, you come up with everything that is needed to make the invention work, bringing it to market and presenting it to people and selling it to people, encouraging people to utilize this product, finding, and they're doing the numbers on the manufacturing and production costs, and including in that research and development for advancement of the project and the order product in the future, because life changes. And you have to be prepared for the shifts, and you have to be prepared for the hardships and the blood, sweat, and tears. And when it comes to blood, sweat, and tears, right now, I'm entering the phase of something that I'm working on that it should be straightforward, because I filed a lawsuit dealing with us being maced and attacked while we were praying, because we were praying. And this was in 2021, February 28th, 2021. I thought I would have support by now, but I don't. Right now, show is November 14th, 2022. We're coming up on 2 years, and I haven't had anybody help me get the videotape of the incident where we were based. I haven't had a lawyer step in to represent me. I've talked to Islamic organizations and Muslims. I thought Muslims would be in an uproar, very upset about the whole situation. Not upset enough. A lot of people heard about it. So I've been doing all the paperwork. I've been doing everything that is necessary. And that's whenever you're trying to work on any type of movement. You know, a movement is way bigger than a simple lawsuit. An organization is bigger than a single lawsuit. They handle multiple lawsuits and multiple phone calls, multiple complaints, multiple, you have to be able to protect yourself legally. So there's a lot more to running an organization or keeping a movement going. And movements are more marketing than they are business. There's a business end to movements. To sustain the movement, there's a business in. But a movement is more marketing, and hopefully we'll be able to get into that later also. But when it comes to sustaining the organization and keeping it going, blood, sweat, and tears, like right now I'm at the stage where I'm begging for help for this lawsuit. The people that I've been in communication with, I've reached a point where I'm going to go on a begging campaign. I shouldn't have to beg, but I'm willing to. And that's what I got to do. And if I got to beg for something, then when it comes to something I believe in, then so be it. Hard work should be enough. But the reality of life is that you have to be willing to go the distance and do whatever is necessary. If you truly believe in the movement that you're attempting to start, or the movement that you're a part of, or the organization that you're trying to start, or the organization you're a part of. What I like is how Marcus Lemonis put it when he say, and he looks at product, process, and people. It's not necessarily in that order, but those are that's the category he puts everything in with any business that he approaches, or organization, or group. What is the product that's being produced? What's the service that's being provided? You have to outline that. And then, what is the process to fulfill that service or to produce that product? And then, who are the people that are involved? What are their personalities like? Do they get along? Are they hard workers? Are they are their personalities conducive to the product that's being produced, the process that's producing their product? Do they have the knowledge and the passion for the work that has to be done? So these are some of the things that are necessary. And then I'm saying you have to be on time. You have to focus on long-range goals and short-term objectives. And start now. The short-term objective is to get your paperwork in order. Sit down and write out your plan. Before you start incorporate, before you start trying to collect investments in different things or donations, start writing your plan out so that you can know for yourself what is going to be required and whether or not you're ready to do this, whether or not you're ready to commit to this. You have to put together a vision board. And it seems elementary, but I'm saying those elementary skills are taught for a reason. That's because those things really do help to see the direction of where it is. There's a lot of top flight investigators in the CIA. And
this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
FBI Department of Justice that use vision boards in the course of their investigation, where you'll see where they have the wall of everything mapped out and pins and everything and strings from one piece of paper to another. And that's so that they can see the connection between the people and the process of whatever it is that they're investigating. And that's why you should sit down and write everything out, because that is part of manifesting your vision, manifesting your organization, manifesting your movement. Anaya?
Yes.
Like, care to add anything? Or comment? When it comes to dealing with LLC and
no.
Incorporate, you said no. All right. It's not easy. Maintaining something that you believe in. And there are times when you'll feel like nothing is moving forward. And but in all business, there are moments where things have to either be restructured. There are moments when fits and starts, where sometimes things do feel like they're grinding to a halt. Sometimes you actually have things moving backwards, where you go into the red and in debt. But you have to look at it as raising a child. I've heard a lot of people refer to their business as a child, raising a child, and that's how attentive you have to be. You have to keep that business on your hip. That's why some people who do their business part-time, at some point they have to let go of their table and start walking it and take on the business, lean into it full-time. When that time comes, you will know when you need to make that commitment and go ahead and make that legal thing. There is no way to be successful without that leap of faith. Some people take those leaps of faith naturally and easily with utmost confidence. and the surety and their confidence and the surety sometimes so contagious and intoxicated it inspires others to follow them with ease, even when they don't know what they're doing. Passion alone is not enough. Because you have to start producing something. You have to start moving things forward in the direction that you're trying to go in. And the easiest way to kill an organization,
you have 1 minute left,
is to criticize it, is to refuse to participate, is to take a completely negative slant about your own organization, the movement that either you started or you're participating in, and being overly critical of the individuals that you're involved with or you're dealing with. Because that criticism, that negativity, it becomes acidic. It becomes corrosive. And the energy, your emotional energy that you put into your business or you put into the organizational movement, that's going to help. That's going to bring back the result.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
So, especially in keeping up with a movement, Reggie will be calling back shortly. But I'll give you an example on how things have been currently progressing in the current movement. You know, you have people who believe they are agitators, but they believe they can be agitators from the inside, right?
An offender at the Jefferson...
And in being an agitator, you have to be able to move things even when that thing doesn't want to move. That's the whole point of being an agitator. Okay.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation
and
now.
I'll give you an example. It was a lady, it was an abandoned house on next door to her, and it fell down during one of the wind storms, and it put a big-ass hole in her house, her wall. Now, as an agitator, you would want to be able to be like, you see, winter is approaching. The city is not doing anything that was one of their properties that fell on their house, and they are not moving or budging to make any progress with this citizen, taxpaying citizen, homeowner citizen, lived in this house for 50 years citizen, right? For us to be able to shake things up with the city and either get the city to do it or have proper preparation to be able to take care of and handle those things for our people, ourselves. And that should not come down to begging. That should not come down to being caught between a rock and a hard place or choosing between the lesser of two evils when trying to get these things done. We should have the necessary resources to be like, hey, we got extra resources. Let's chip in. Let's do it. Or, hey, city, we're finna put some pressure, we're finna withhold some stuff from you until you get it done, right? But no, right, we get to the point where we have people who believe they are agitators, but they're so-called doing this from the inside. We were able to help. And even when I felt as though, oh, we should help with this amount of money, the people who I'm working with is like, nah, that's giving too much. We only going to do this. So now we become a barrier to our own people. We become the rock that doesn't want to move. So what I'm getting at here is simply this. as a organizer, as a person who cares for life, and as a person who wants to see life, your intent should not be
correctional facility and maybe monitored. Your intent
should not be to make it look like you want to make change. It should be about actually making the change. And this is why we sometimes see that things stand still, right? Things aren't moving fast enough, right? Not enough money's coming in yet, right? And that is because, I'm going to tell you, right, it's the same seed where we will say, oh, okay, if I'm getting $1 million coming in, let me figure out how to make that $1 million spread so far that it does more work than a person or another organization who gets hundreds of millions of dollars coming in. Nobody thinks like that. Everybody wants the highest implication to validate themselves. So instead of that $1 million going and doing the things that it could equate to for creating systems that do not allow things like inflation or things or tax, high tax rates or high interest rates or high, all of these things that make the money dwindle lower, right? Instead of creating the systems that keep the money abundant, but also spreading much farther, right? Everybody wants to be the beginner, being paid the most dollar, being the trainee. You know what I'm saying? So there is no, this is why we can't get nowhere, y'all, because we're trying to keep up and be caught up into a system that is ages in front of us. And we're trying to live the high life and also have to make the necessary sacrifices to get, to help people and to also put our people into better circumstances than they came to us with. As an organizer, how I see our ways around these different types of installments, it starts with your mindset. Right? If I know logically, right, everybody should live in a home, then logically I should be conducting a or building the functionalities of a city where everybody gets a home. Right? But when you go to talk, when you start talking like this to mayor's office or starting trying to figure out ways to allocate different budgets and different people other places and figuring out how do we get a system of education to teach people how to do skills, to do the skills that are then needed for adequate service, and that, so that things are not so scarce, right? Because that's in this current system, scarcity drives the price up. We know this. This is why things are scarce. It's not a mystery why things are so expensive right now. It's not magic. It was set and designed this way. It was designed for the school systems to fail, so that there isn't adequate enough skilled workers. The scarcity in workers allows more people to be like, or hire people who've been doing it longer to raise their prices, right? And then everything has to follow after that. It's a domino effect. The movement can't move because we are not removing ourselves from the lines and the safety nets of this system. And we don't want to leave the system and those safety nets just because it's comfortable, or just because I want to make it look like I'm doing change so I can get more money. And then it's a cycle, bro. And for me, I live on the most minimalist I'm talking about the minimalist budget, right? My most expensive thing I have to take is my food bill. That's it. And I can cut that off. Like, I literally can go months with making my food bill budget $100. But some months, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to treat myself out to some nice food. But the point is, and I'm going to give it back to Reggie, is the fact that we need to make sacrifices. There should be no reason why we are standing in each other's way of making big change, because for some reason it's for us to make big and momentum change just because we want to do it the way how we see these other folks doing, how white folks is doing it. We want to do it the way white folks is doing it, instead of finding our own ways and removing ourselves from the system, and which by then wanting to do it the way they do it, we become the thing that is in our own way. So I'm going to pass it on over to you, Reggie.
I agree with that 100%,
because
a lot of people striving to fight against the system only to try to become a part of the system because they haven't laid out or mapped out what it is that they're trying to do to replace the system.
Exactly.
Against.
Exactly.
So they become their own worst enemy. You're just fighting to become the oppressor at that point. You fight to become the thing that you claim to fight against. So I agree with that 100%. And the thing I left off with was dealing with energy, the energy that you bring. You got to bring that passion. And sometimes that money is going to come up short.
Yep.
But that's where sweat equity comes in.
Exactly.
Sweat equity replaces money. You got
exactly.
to put in that work. And you got to prepare to put in that work. And where you fall short, pieces.
And when you achieve...
Put that puzzle together.
And when you finally achieve what it is that you were doing to replace that fallen income... It's going to feel so much better than just sending out loads of money to get shit done. When you go
yeah.
and get down in the dirt and do it yourself.
When you have your own investment next to it.
Exactly. Exactly. And nobody can take that value away from what you have created because you put in the work to do it. So even if they do go bomb it and say, fuck that, nope, and go buy out all your employees and have people turn their back against you, guess what's going to happen? When you did the work yourself, all you got to do is start up, teach new people, and do it all over again. They can't take
Bounce
what
back.
You learned from you.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
All right, Reggie, we're over time. Any last words?
Yes. Go to the AA Trust Fund website and please donate. Please donate and blog on there and so that we can get our own banking system and start storing up our own money to establish the African American Trust Fund International Banking System. That's the only way we're going to be able to buy our way out of freedom and out of slavery because we are still listed as slaves. Make no mistake that the Declaration the Emancipation Proclamation didn't set us free, but we can free ourselves. The slaves can't buy their freedom. It's in the Bible and the Quran and any other religious book. Under any other slave law, the slave can't buy their own freedom. We need to buy our freedom en masse. Thank you for listening. I love you and I pray for you and I hope that one day we will all be able to live in harmony as human beings, one and all together in a system of equality. We need justice reform, and we need to focus on the government and make sure that we vote for the right people and correct the voting system and make the system reflect our values. With that, I pray that we are successful.
All right. Peace out, y'all.
Peace.